Welcome back to the Atlantic Hour. I am one of your hosts, James, and with me are my co-hosts, Tom and Eva. And this will be our final episode. We have loved being with you every week to discuss politics, first in America and then across the world. And we thought we'd end the show with a very special topic, which is, if you haven't heard, the ramifications of Trump's Liberation Day.
Woo! So we have been silenced this episode. Yes. So James will be taking the main lead. But we are still here.
Yeah, it's the final episode because James is not even letting us introduce ourselves anymore.
But also you were introduced first. It was Thomas and Eva. It's never been Eva and Thomas, you know, where the loyalties lie.
Yeah, let's talk about it. What are we talking about first?
Thoughts, opinions. Okay, should I?
Yes, can you
so,
start off
the mic is on you.
The mic is on me. So, like, just quick rewind. Trump's basically put tariffs on every country. And that's what his Liberation Day was. And I'm just going to read some of the tariffs in descending order so you kind of get a picture. So he's put, so total tariffs on China is 104%, which is just insane. Then you have the second highest is like Vietnam, because, you know, a lot of goods are made in Vietnam and then shipped to the US. Mm. And they want to. Basically, Trump wants to try and remake the economy, but he doesn't quite understand that you can't just start producing loads of things in the US and just transform an economy. Then, weirdly, Switzerland is 32%. I'm not sure what's going on in Switzerland. A lot of cheese. I'm not sure. Mm. Indonesia is 32%. Israel is 17%. Australia is 10%. United Kingdom is 10%. Mm. Woo! Yeah, so we're one of the lowest.
With Afghanistan.
Really?
Yeah, us and the Taliban.
We are one and the same. So that's just a quick overview of the tariffs that Trump's put on some of the main countries.
I will come in with a quick soundbite of the announcement before we actually start our conversation.
April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn, the day America's destiny was reclaimed, and the day that we began to make America wealthy again.
How many different versions of that can they do now? Make America healthy again, great again, wealthy again.
Well, they're rhyming
until
now.
True.
Healthy, wealthy.
Oh, yeah, health
stealthy.
Is wealth. They got those new stealth bombers.
Stealthy.
There's a new mic system this week, guys.
We're not allowed to share the same mic. Now I'm just thinking of rhymes. Anyone want to jump in?
Healthy. I'm not sure how many rhymes healthy.
Chelsea.
Has.
No.
I don't like that one.
Okay.
So I think the world has gone into a state of collective shock. Most countries don't know how to respond to these tariffs. A lot of American industries don't know how to respond to these tariffs.
I'm just going to, sorry, interrupt. shocking. In regards to how countries have responded, have you seen Europe's put counter tariffs?
I have.
Well, so Europe's basically put counter tariffs, which are going to come into effect on April 15th. So what do you think that's going to do?
I think that Trump's a showman, and this, again, in its own way, was a sensationalized policy. It's designed to make other countries feel pain and to, in its own way, humiliate them. So other countries showing strength is probably what he wants. As we've discussed many times on this podcast, he likes the fight and he likes a level of antagonism. I think that it's going to continue this ongoing trade war, which was sparked by the retaliatory tariffs from China. I think an interesting question, which I want to pose both of you, is whether any of these retaliatory tariffs are going to have any impact on Trump's policy.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's sort of a mix of... And there's a mix of purpose for the tariffs, aren't there? So, like, the heavy tariffs on Indonesia and Cambodia were probably more for America's foreign policy goals than they are for America's economic goals. Like, you look at the countries that are excluded from the tariffs, well, there's four, like Belarus, North Korea, and Cuba, and I can't remember the other one. It might just be those three. But, like, there are the countries that America has no diplomatic business with or countries that America has no real interest in. Like, all the other countries America does have an interest in. So, like, there's going to be a mix. So, like, with Cambodia and Indonesia, it's probably going to be kick the Chinese out of your military bases or stop letting China build military bases in your waters. But with the countries like with the European Union, I think there might be much less effect because it's what they're trying to... What he's trying to achieve is trying to remove sort of car manufacturing and drug manufacturing to America, which are, like, two of the key industries in Europe. So they're probably not... It's probably not going to have a big an impact. China, I mean, this could have an incredible effect on China. It could have the devastating effects on China he wants it to, but it might just also have a reciprocatory effect on America.
Mm.
Because obviously the way the whole Chinese economy is set up is it's cheap goods, cheap labour. If the goods are no longer cheap, then China's sort of policy of suppressing wages can't continue.
Mm.
So it's all, you know, this could have a devastating effect on already quite weak Chinese economy. So, like, it all could fit within a Donald Trump anti-China policy and it could work, but it's just the effect it has on America at the same time.
Mm. I think an interesting element of this is whether Trump sees this as an emergency action or a stance for negotiation, since coming out of the White House, his press secretary is saying one thing, which is that it's an emergency plan, and that's why he's evoked the EIPA. And he's saying another, which is that this is a room for negotiation between countries. And overall, the markets are responding more to the fact that the administration doesn't know what these are, more so than the fact that the tariffs are actually in place.
Mm.
And it's been in place for a week, and the markets are all over the place. The people who voted for Trump in Wall Street are probably kicking themselves right now. What do you think about that?
I think it's quite obvious. Like, they don't have a plan. Like, you know, the fact that there's already some been like slight infighting between Trump's cabinet.
Mm.
This is what you said. Like, are they setting it up as a stage for negotiation, or are these reciprocal tariffs? Are these, you know, are these literally just, this is what we'll do to you if you don't come to us? Because they've bragged that over 70 countries have come to them for negotiation. But also, you know, Trump's been very steadfast in the fact he's not changing the tariffs, because there was that brief uptick in the market 2 days ago when the fake news story leaked that he was going to pause them.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then obviously he's come out and said he won't. Obviously his mind changes every 20 minutes. I was actually surprised that, like, he fully came out, because he's such a market oriented person. Like, you'd think that if it went up because of something that they thought he said, he might just run with it, but clearly not.
Clearly not.
I think it's also interesting that, tying into this element of spectacle, you've got every global media outlet in the world having this as their top story. Every single person in most Western democracies hanging on Trump's every word. And for one man to have that amount of media coverage for such a prolonged period of time is astronomical.
I mean, he must be loving it.
Yeah. You see, the BBC and Sky did like a 2-hour stream of him talking to like the LA Dodgers just in case he spoke about the tariffs.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I think that is damaging to America's reputation in the world. America's been famed for that American exceptionalism, coming to other countries' rescue. And I don't think most countries had a contingency in place if America itself became the problem, which it now is.
Yeah, well, that's the whole, they've sort of upturned the entire world order by removing all of their soft power and then making themselves sort of the enemy of literally every country in the world.
I think you said something interesting with the BBC coverage, which is other countries hanging on Trump's words to see if he will make any amendment to the tariffs. So do you think that he is going to potentially change course, or are these more permanent?
Yeah, definitely. I reckon by the same as the Canada and Mexico ones, like, as soon as they, like, Britain will come to America and they'll ask for a trade deal, and part of that trade deal will either be a reduction in the tariffs or the removal of the tariffs. And India are going to do the same thing. Cambodia will do this. Like, a lot of this stuff, it could also just be, like, America wanting a new trade deal with the country. So, like, it's all, I think it's all quite, I think by the end of his presidency, these tariffs won't, like, these tariffs will be mixed up.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing here, though, is that the damage is done. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Someone should have probably checked Trump before he made this decision. And yet, as you said, that soft power, that ability to persuade other countries is disintegrating in front of America's eyes. And the next leader that comes in power, Republican or Democrat, will have a huge issue on their hands trying to rebuild relationships which it took years to build, which have now been destroyed in the space of no time at all.
I mean, also trying to rebuild the American economy. I mean, inflation's going to increase. People are preparing for a recession. I mean, like, you have to actually look at the economic effects as well, rather than just international relations.
I think the American economy will survive this and level out by the time it gets to 2029.
Who, where did I hear this? I think I heard that Donald Trump is now being compared to Liz Truss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read that too? I don't know where I read that.
Was
but
from Progressive
Politics. Yeah. That's a funny comparison.
Someone get the cabbage out.
Yeah.
It has to be something American, like
a zucchini.
Yeah, cilantro.
To be fair, their vegetable here lasts forever, so it probably would last about 5 years.
Their vegetables
have you not
known?
Like, I guess we don't buy it, but I was talking to my friends, and she was like, "You don't buy like a bag of lettuce in the UK."
Yeah, it goes
brown within 3 days. Here it just stays for like weeks
because they put all the chemicals. Where do you get the chemicals from?
Europe.
No longer. So, you know. Check your cabbages, guys.
So, again, no country comes out of this well. I think that even though the American economy, by comparison, will still be relatively better placed than a lot of the countries who are experiencing these tariffs, the loss of that soft power is devastating for America. And I don't see any check coming from Congress.
No, especially in the first 2 years, checks don't usually come from Congress. But this is, you could do it, like, what will happen is that there'll be some sort of major international incident, scandal, like,
surely
if this all goes
Republicans
wrong.
Republicans in Congress are looking at this and thinking, this man is unhinged.
Not if you want to keep your job.
Yeah, exactly. If, you know, there's a,
well, the constituents who voted for them in 2026 will turn around and be like, we voted for Trump to fix the economy. Trump hasn't fixed the economy.
Yeah.
And you're responsible. You were meant to put in some accountability. You did nothing. We're going to vote for a Democrat.
They might, but they've got 2 years to do. They've got a year to do that. And it's very difficult for Congress at the moment. Like, Congress is a very reactionary body. like it works. So unless it's still, like, especially at the start of presidencies, it basically acts as more of a rubber stamp, and then it, like, it will react to like a major scandal. It's always looking to get its influence back, but it's not. It often fails. Like, you know, it needs like a party gate, or sorry, not party gate, a water gate, or some other kind of scandal to sort of put the reins on the president and go, look, you've had power for long enough. This is what we want, and you're going to let us pass it, basically. So, and at the moment, Donald Trump, look, you mean, you, as you're saying, the whole world is wrapped around his finger. Like, he doesn't need this body. Like, all the stuff he's doing is through executive order.
The coverage of people in his cabinet try and explain what he's doing here, and the mental gymnastics they have to do to try and justify why this is a good policy is astonishing, and is definitely not believable. So I think there are plenty of people in his cabinet who think that this is a ridiculous policy. If everyone at the birthday party knows that someone is...
Yeah, no, continue what this metaphor. Continue the metaphor, please.
No, go on. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, yeah. We're not stopping until. Anyway, one person in his cabinet who is definitely not a fan of these tariffs is Elon Musk, who has been, you know, sort of referenced as being very anti. I'm getting really concerned by that bar now. is being like really. I've gone all the way down now.
He's muted you.
Who's obviously been quite outspoken, sorry, internally apparently, about his distrust of the tariffs, and about how, and you know, and so much so that like people in the cabinet have sort of started calling him a car salesman.
It's happening.
Yeah.
How long? Sorry. What were your predictions for how long Musk is going to stay in for?
Well, technically, he can. It's not a prediction. He'll be there until, what is it, the end of the month? Because that's how long his
visa, his
special advisor role lasts for. So he's only got X amount of time left anyway. But I think, I mean, it depends whether Donald Trump tries to sort of keep him in government, or goes, you know what, you got a lot of bang for your buck. You know, you cost yourself $100 billion. Move on, brother. Sunk cost fallacy.
I think a bit of sunk cost fallacy is going on within Trump's own government. The honeymoon period for the administration is over.
Yeah.
They ran for 4 years on a platform of Biden messed up the economy, the rampant inflation was the Democrats' fault, we're going to come in and we're going to solve this issue. And now they're trying to solve some kind of unemployment crisis by trying to bring back American manufacturing to the country, which doesn't even exist. And when they broke the economy, they're turning around and saying, well, don't worry, don't panic. Did you see Trump's message?
What were they called? The
panickers.
Panickers, yeah.
Don't be a panickin.
Yeah.
Stay calm and stay strong. Only the weak will fail.
To be fair, the dollar is now worth less. So, inflation.
Yeah.
But
I think it's pretty astonishing that that's the tack of the administration. And only Trump can do an about-face and not lose support from his base. So what does that say about the people who vote for him?
They're not very clever.
Are we allowed to say that on this podcast?
What?
It's the last episode, I can say whatever I want.
But who's not clever?
According to Tom, over 50% of people in this country.
But they're not his base.
To be fair,
they are
revoking student visas.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Not mine, though. I'm going to Canada, baby.
Oh, yeah. That 51st state.
Oh, no. John, please wait. Actually, also, can we reduce some tariffs? It's really expensive to go to Canada, guys.
It is.
Can we make some stuff cheaper? I just want some cheap aluminium while I'm out there.
It's aluminium.
Can a man...
what is it?
Can a boy just get some aluminium?
Aluminium.
Anyway.
We don't know where this is going.
I just wanted to make a plea. Please make it cheaper.
Please be made.
I think that this out of everything will be an issue that sets the tone for the Trump administration.
But after we've talked about Ukraine, after we talked about
the Panama Canal, after we talked about Greenland, this is the thing that everyday Americans actually care about.
Until next week when he does something in that, again, like we sort of said, like, oh, this you know, this trade war with Canada is going to be a defining moment of his
104% tariffs on China. You've got a $1 piece of candy that now costs $2.04. Extrapolate out that out to a entire business which is getting all their manufacturing from China. You're costing everyday Americans billions of pounds.
I know, but if a lot of Americans are anti-China, then surely they'll view this as good because it will crash the Chinese economy.
They're only going to view it as good if there's American manufacturing which jumps in to plug the gap. The reason why there isn't that spike in American manufacturing is because most people don't believe that Trump's going to keep these Liberation Day tariffs in place for long enough to put in robust business infrastructure.
Well, as long as it looks like America's got the strongest economy and that China doesn't, yeah, I think a lot of Americans will be. I mean, you know,
until they go to the grocery store and they're like, what the hell? I have to pay $12 for a pack of eggs.
It's already $8 for a pack of eggs.
Yeah.
Fucking bird flu. But the other problem is that the one thing China has over America is that it owns sort of trillions in US Treasury bonds. So it owns a lot of the United States' debt. And Trump has hinted that he might not honor that, which is the, like, US Treasury bonds are the underpinning of the entire world's economy. So that I think, you know, we talk about how, like, this is the defining event of his presidency, or the, if he could derail the entire world economy, if China decide to call in their debts, or, you know, like, are not honored on the treasury bonds they own, like, that is, like, the dollar is the world's reserve currency. Like, if America isn't honoring US treasury bonds, then that's the entire end of sort of this economic world order.
Yeah,
which could be Trump's real legacy. If we want to scaremonger a little bit more, then you know, a $1 piece of candy is worth, nobody knows.
Yeah,
it could be worth, cents. But it's not even like, because you knew how much the money was worth. But if the money's not backed by, you know, the treasury, or you know, the US's debt is no longer valued, does that make sense? Like, they're sort of giving themselves however many trillion dollars because they're not going to honor bonds. Like, the dollar is literally both worthless and worth everything. Like, it's there's no value.
There's an argument that the one backstop on this policy would be the Federal Reserve, who could jump in with a rake up.
Yeah, and you know, that could happen because, you know, a lot of Trump's other things have been stopped by the Supreme Court. But I doubt it, weirdly. I feel like he wouldn't do this without having assurances that he wouldn't be stopped.
Yeah.
Because, like, even though a lot of his USAID stuff has been set back, he still managed to do a lot of it. Like, I think with that sort of thing, he was sort of a scattergun. Like, look, I'm just going to shut it all down, and you know what? I'll probably lose a bit. Like, maybe I'll lose 50% of the cases, but I'll still be able to say I delivered. Whereas with this, it can't be sort of just a shutdown. He has to sort of, it's all or nothing, really. You can't go, oh yeah, well, managed to get 36% tariffs on Cambodia. We were going for 94, but you know.
Got some.
Yeah, all those Cambodian products.
Yeah.
All that. But the other weird thing is, like, by putting tariffs on Madagascar, because obviously Madagascar, America buys an awful lot of vanilla. You can't make, is that right? Have I got that wrong?
Yeah,
you can't make vanilla in America. So
yeah, can't, this is true. And you can't make coffee.
Exactly. So, like, what I don't understand, and someone much smarter than me needs to explain, like, the benefit of putting tariffs on products you can't make yourself. Because, like, at least theoretically, pharmaceuticals, cars can be made in America.
Yeah.
Madagascar, yeah. Not Madagascar, vanilla, coffee, pineapples, they can't. Like,
yeah, true.
Bananas, like, all this stuff, like, they can't be manufactured in America. So I don't really understand the big idea there, because a lot of them you can see why he's doing it. The ones of the EU aren't fair, but it makes sense. America pays a lot more for pharmaceuticals than we do. They pay a lot more for European cars than we do because we're in Europe.
Mm.
Like, it's, but like, you know, you can see how they're being overcharged, and ultimately, the EU is not very nice to American big tech companies. He's given them billions and billions of fines, and that's who Donald Trump's in with right now. So they're going to be very happy about this. But like, it's there's ones like Madagascar that just you sort of do a double take and go,
yeah.
Okay, I don't really get that. What do you want Madagascar to do? Because that's what tariffs. I mean, that's what I assume a tariff is a leverage for something,
mm.
or it's a sort of way of either punishing an industry or a sector.
Yeah.
But what is the vanilla industry done to Donald Trump that makes him so sad?
Oh, I don't know about the vanilla industry.
But like, as an example, like what are these very specialized sort of local industries? What can they do for America that they're not doing right now?
Like, why do you want to make coffee more expensive than it already is? Apparently, there's a tiny bit of coffee made in Hawaii, but that's it.
Yeah, but, yeah.
I don't think that would plug the manufacturing gap. Yeah, Hawaii's
going to become the most important state now.
I also think that Trump is trying to make his decisions in the way that he did when he was a businessman, which is the argument that a lot of people are putting forward. A lot of the other Republicans in Congress have been like, oh, trust Trump. He's the guy who made the deal.
Mm.
He knows what he's doing. He has a plan that a lot of us can't see. You need to strap him for the long haul. And in the long run, you'll be thankful that you did. If you don't trust him now, then you're backing yourself in a corner. And later on, when everything turns out great, you're going to miss out. I think that will definitely come back to bite them politically, especially when 2 years isn't that long.
No, especially in the American electoral cycle.
Mm.
People are putting in their campaigns to run for Senate and House seats now.
James, you could do your election campaign.
I'll jump on that. I'm going to be in Washington DC this summer, so I'll try and get some inroads with some influential Democrats and mm-hmm. see what I can make shape.
I'll give you some of my numbers.
Yeah.
This is from the election podcast. I picked up a lot of contacts.
Yeah, Roy Stewart.
Yeah, well, that was actually just after. He gave me a buzz. Decided to meet at JFK.
Okay, fair enough.
In a 3-hour queue.
Yeah.
Mm.
He never texted me back, Rory.
It's okay.
If you're on the...
Oh, the second time.
Airways, Rory, we'd love to.
Sorry, I was yawning.
Have you on?
What for our...
Alistair Campbell's my favourite.
Oh, I do love Alistair Campbell. Although we have now ended the podcast. James has put an end to
it. We'll bring it back for Alistair, not for Rory.
Yes, good point. Just the whole Campbell family.
Trump's also come out
Grace
of...
Campbell.
This with a lower approval rating than any other president across history, even himself in his first term.
That is surprising.
No way. That's mental. Well, there were the approval ratings in like the 1800s.
Yeah. Well, can you name some 1800s unpopular presidents?
Probably quite a few of them.
Andrew
yeah.
Johnson.
Jackson.
Nope.
What?
Andrew Johnson is the most unpopular president this country's had.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, he was awful.
Who was the one who died after racist. Like 20 minutes?
JFK?
No. I don't know, the one, I can't remember his name now. Yeah, Gambling H.
This also will be the most talked about time in history books, probably in the first half of this century.
That's a good question. What will be the most? What will be the most talked about?
This is a great question.
What will be the most talked about thing? I think the pandemic might be. That was mental.
They say that this has crashed the economy worse than the pandemic, which is astonishing.
Well, yes, because he's put tariffs on everything. Well, he's put tariffs on everything.
I don't know if that's true.
Are you a Trump believer?
No, I'm a fact believer, and I just don't believe.
Don't be a panicker.
No, because the I'm not being. You're being a panicker. I'm on a podcast with two panickers.
There's no need for name calling.
No, there's no way that this has crashed the world economy. Everything's shut down. There are flights still. The world is still ticking.
Everything. Do you eat out to help out?
That was only a month, and it was the best month of my life.
And it was also the dirtiest name he could have thought of.
Well, I'd never thought about it like that. I've got a T-shirt with that on now.
Do you actually?
No, of course not.
I'm going to say there are very special times you could wear that.
Every Ted's.
Give it to some of our friends.
Right, well, fine. I don't know who you're talking about, but let's move on from that. Should I do? But anyway, the pandemic probably, I guess the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh yeah,
9/11, but that was kind of early.
2008, you don't wanna... depression.
This has been the most seismic shift in the Republican Party since Reagan.
Well, this is a very American. Well, yeah. Obviously it's global, but this is very like American based.
Biggest event in
US history, I think, was 9/11 in the century.
Yeah.
I mean, that changed everything. This is when James comes out and he's a 9/11 conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. What about Building 7?
Yeah, I don't know. What else has happened in the past 25 years?
I was born. The first black president.
Who's you?
I wasn't elected.
We didn't elect
I was
him.
I was a Mitch.
Not that we wouldn't have if we had the chance to vote.
No, I was a massive McCain fan as a child. He was a war hero. He was done dirty.
Yeah.
What about Mitt Romney?
Oh, I don't like that guy.
Kylie Jenner and the egg. Was that a thing? Something about an egg. Liz Truss and an egg. Kylie Jenner and something. The most liked Instagram photo.
Oh, the egg, the world record egg.
Yeah, yeah.
I doubt historians are going to be clamouring.
Oh, James.
It was a world record egg, James.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I didn't really care.
And that's why you don't have a world record, James.
For real, James.
Most liked podcast. The Olympics? Me and Eva. Yeah. Egg podcast coming next. Well, the Olympics is every year.
It's not.
It's like every 4 years. You can't say the biggest event of the 21st century is something that's happened five times.
You don't know that. Usain Bolt.
I guess if there had been 5 9/11s.
Simone Biles fell off the beam. Mental.
Anyway.
Ciao, anyway.
In terms of more...
Tsunami, 2004 Boxing Day tsunami.
I think
rise of artificial intelligence is the most consequential thing to come out of this century.
Artificial intelligence? What's this?
What is that?
Are these PGTs that everyone's been telling me about.
That DeepSeek.
I don't know what you're talking about, James. I've got some essays to write later, though. And I might be using some PG tips. We'll have to see.
For our American listeners, that is a British tea brand.
So they don't have that.
But it's the worst one.
But they've got a monkey. Have you got? This is a politics podcast. I was going to ask you about the PG tips monkey, but
no, I don't. Oh. I'm an Earl Grey woman.
Just like my mother.
Maybe there'll be some weird Freudian coming your way on your tea when you return.
Nothing Freudian here.
Apart from your eat out to help out.
Scheme.
It's not Freudian. I just liked Five Guys.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Oh, we broke the audio. This episode's never coming out. Never, ever.
That's off the scale.
Yeah, did you not hear it? Because I'm wearing the headphones, I can hear. We've had to reduce our volume again. We're too loud. This podcast has gone on for too long. But yeah, the most consequential. I reckon this could be in there, depending on how long it lasts. Obviously, if it leads to a global
and the effect.
If it leads to, but it would also just be the second global depression, and it's not gonna, like, we're still recovering from 2008, like in the UK anyway. I don't know about other countries, but like, you know, the UK's never really recovered. But I mean, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it was sort of, you know, explaining sort of the depths of the problem that America has with it in terms of its economy, like in terms of the fact that like its entire economy is sort of composed of like small private banks not connected to the US Federal Reserve, lending out money and giving out cheap credit, which is, you know, sort of similar to how the last financial crash started. We've got a very serious tone now. And sort of how, again, that how about these treasury bonds and about sort of how, you know, this could all collapse if, you know, the American, if Donald Trump doesn't treat the American economy, which is very fragile right now, it's the world's strongest economy, arguably still, but it's very fragile in the fact that it is just composed, it's built upon mountains and mountains of credit and debt and, you know, private loans and private equity. Like, it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen to the American economy before Trump came in, and now a guy who would just sort of act on his own whims or sort of, you know, his perceived slights, like, is now in control. This could be a devastating period for the American economy if he doesn't, you know, start treating it more seriously. I'm not sure that it's picking up anything I'm saying, but
yeah, it's come very quiet.
I think that
that's a good
to cap. This has the potential to change.
James, you're not getting picked up at all.
America's relationship with
the world.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think people are going to view America as this white knight savior country anymore after they have deliberately crashed the global economy and treat foreign policy as some sort of joke. That is one of the most troubling legacies that any president could leave.
But Trump doesn't care.
And on that note, popular. I think we should
conclude.
End the podcast.
Forever.
It's been a long, how many months? 6 months?
It's been longer than that, hasn't it?
It's been a good couple months, guys. lots happened.
We're not even getting picked up at all now.
And we've been silent. Oh, no, we're here. And we've been, hello? No, okay. Silent. Okay. Anyway. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you very much.
We've loved having you
as all of our listeners,
faithful audience members every week.
Hi, Thomas's parents.
And hopefully we'll see you at some point in the future.
Yeah, maybe we'll be back.
Yeah, maybe.
Season 3, baby.
See you.